that's all I'm
a. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Thursday. It's the 16th of August. Very nice to have you with us. Man, do we have a panel for you. It is exciting, and let me introduce you all to them. First of all, of course, we're listening to the music of Elvis Presley, who died on this day in 1977.
Wow.
1977.
It was a horrible death. You're,
I remember. It was a horrible death.
Yeah.
I remember.
Investigative reporting showed how he died. Awful.
It was horrible.
It was drugs, right? And also the official diagnosis on the death certificate, I believe, was straining at the stool.
Yeah, because he used so many barbiturates, it just stopped his whole system. So it was like cement.
Yeah.
Horrible, huh?
That was one of his hits records, straining at the stool.
Yeah, that was one. That was a big one. Yeah.
Starting off with a bang.
There is some major Elvis news, as you all may remember. Roselle, my wife, has written a book on Elvis and the Jewish community. And Elvis was a big fan of things Jewish. And one of the things that he did, and she's looking for a publisher, I may say, and I have to say that that the gravestone that Elvis wanted had a Jewish star on it.
Really?
Yeah, and they took it away from Graceland, and now it's being put back by the family.
Didn't someone on Trump's cabinet get into trouble for that kind of thing, trying to get an advantage for their wife? She's looking for a publisher.
Oh, well, I just didn't mention it. Nothing. Nothing self-seeking about that.
Just to away from too much schmaltz and.
Well, no, the only reason to be somewhat defensive, Rosemary, and thank you and welcome back.
and they're off and running.
And I have to say, in my own defense for saying that, it is really it's extraordinary. She's just finished the book, and now the next stage. So. And a lot of people write to me and call me and say, when can I read that book? Well, when it's published, you can read the book.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the roundtable. And let me introduce our panel to you. As Alan mentioned, Rosemary Armeo is back. You are here in Albany. We don't have you on a crappy phone line. We have you actually live and in person.
No static, no Arabs yelling in the background.
Yeah, that wasn't actually a problem. We got a beckon. We got like an echo.
Yeah.
But I think that's... working on that?
I hope so.
Wait a second, Rosemary. Can you really say that? No Arabs yelling in the background.
That's isn't what that we had a problem with.
I know, but isn't it somewhat... Some people yelling in the background. Isn't that somewhat discriminatory to say no Arabs?
But like they were speaking in Arabic. It was kind of... It was obvious that it wasn't the panel disputing.
It would be like if you were saying there was Americans yelling in the background.
I was getting notes saying, are you all right? I hear yelling in the background. Like we're under attack or something. Yeah. And it was just my reporters.
Well, it's the Arab thing.
Oh, okay. I work with Arabs. Arab reporters for investigative journalism. They're pretty much self-proclaimed and proud Arabs.
So how's everything going?
It's going well. Journalism is hard these days. You know, there's no companies that exist with lots of money like they used to. Remember those days, Ira?
Are you considered the enemy of the people over there?
They like that expression over there. I introduce myself at every event. It's like I'm here now to raise more little baby enemies of the people everywhere. Yes. Yeah, they all know that. And they all know fake news, of course, too.
Welcome back. You're going to be with us today. Tomorrow we're at Tanglewood, but then on Monday and Tuesday you'll be with us again,
yep.
I think. So we're very excited to have you back for
a
few days.
I'm very happy to be back.
Thank you very much. We are also equally delighted to have Fran Berman with us, the Edward Hamilton Distinguished Professor in Computer Science at RPI, better known as Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. Fran, good morning. Very nice to have you with
us. Good morning. Geeks on the radio.
Yay!
And smart on the radio.
Oh, good. And Daily Freeman Publisher Emeritus Ira Fussfeld is back. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Nice to see you all. You know, I wouldn't buy a book about Judaism, and I wouldn't buy a book about Elvis, but I think I would buy a book about Judaism and Elvis. That does pique my interest.
Thank you, Ira.
So please tell Roselle I would like an autograph copy.
You'll get one as soon as...
As long as she gets a publisher.
I'm a publisher. But I don't think I could help her with a book.
And Vera Carias-Kelly is here, Siena College Professor of Comparative Politics. Good morning, Vera.
Good morning,
nice
Joe
to have
and
you.
Everyone.
Yeah, good to have you.
It's
well,
great
we have
to be
a,
back.
A lively panel here and a lot to talk about, so let's get started. A reminder very quickly that you can write to us as always, panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. This is just a quick little note, a little side note. On my part, which is that even though Rosemary has been gone, she still gets the letters. and still responds to them every once in a while, you can find out what gets her.
I try to restrain myself, but sometimes you just get some that are either so good or so bad.
That's why everybody loves you.
So just know that even though she's not here on the radio, if you write a letter and you touch a nerve, you're going to get a response. So that's right. We welcome your letters, panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. Okay, let's go. We begin with... this is a story we talked about this when it was floated, and yesterday it happened, where President Trump revoked ex-CIA Director John Brennan's security clearance. This has touched off a debate as to whether the president now has, like President Nixon, an enemies list. President Trump revoked the security clearance of John Brennan, the former CIA director under President Barack Obama, on Wednesday in a striking act of retaliation against an outspoken critic. The president threatened to do the same to other former national security officials who have antagonized him, citing what he called Mr. Brennan's erratic behavior and increasingly frenzied commentary. Mr. Trump dispatched... who? That's right. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, his press secretary, to read a statement saying that Mr. Brennan had abused his access to the United States' secrets to make a series of unfounded and outrageous allegations.
So what he says, just to start for a second.
The president who really, knows nothing about unfounded and outrageous allegations. Yes, go ahead.
What they really are ticked off about is the fact that they blame him for the Russia investigation, the whole Russia investigation, because he came to Trump, as did Barack Obama, if you remember, and said the Russians are up to this, they're trying to influence the elections, and this is what's going on. And so in addition to every other reason that they say, he's still furious because he sees the rope tightening around his neck on all of this.
Rosemary.
Well, okay. I think nobody looks good in this whole thing. Brennan has been outspoken and highly critical, although not erratic. He's been rather very rational and articulate in his complaints.
Call him a traitor.
But I like those days when the CIA and the FBI stayed out of politics, and that is not happening anymore. Comey was wrong about that. Brennan is wrong about that. So I don't approve of what he did. Trump, on the other hand, continues to do a favor, I think, to the American people, showing them how the system is set up on tradition rather than law. And he is reveling in the powers, the real powers of the presidency. He's still playing with them. He did it with pardons, and now he's doing it with this. We're going to see some more. He is pressing all the buttons where he can get away with it. He's doing that.
Quick, I want to go to Vera, but quick just follow-up question, which is, when you're talking about the Brennan and what he has done, can you make a case for extraordinary actions call for extraordinary measures?
Okay, that's what the press did when we began just before the election, to come out with these over-the-top and front-page editorials saying this man is a danger to democracy. We thought it was, measures, people will get it. It doesn't work. Instead, now the press is seen as the enemy of the people and very biased against Trump. Will never be fair. So what is Brennan doing? What is Comey doing with his tweets, too? Nothing. It's building sympathy for Trump.
Vera. Well, I'm sorry, Vera. I have to take grave exception to what Rosemary has just said. Look, I don't think it's those people who politicized the whole thing. I think it's Trump who politicized it. It's Trump who called them out for...
Well, this is who he started it. Trump did start it. He also plays the game a whole lot better than the liberals and the left and the CIA people who are trying to respond.
So
they're not winning at that game.
So
they should
you'll
stop.
Concede that Trump did do it.
Yeah, he certainly did.
Okay, then I'm done.
So one of the things I wanted to mention was the most interesting sort of way to take this forward in our discussion is the question of what else can Trump do with these kinds of, these kinds of...
revenge moves.
Moods that he has, and he can go after Mueller and his team and remove their security clearance if he so chooses. There's nothing that would stop him from doing it. And apparently, unless the co-equal branch you know, steps up and behaves like
it. We've seen so much of that.
Yes, it's very convincing, right? The way they have been portraying themselves and stepped in and intervened. But here's the question. Is this the first shot across the bow? Does he really want to go after Mueller and his team rather than the list of the so-called enemies? I mean, in essence, these people might have security clearance, but it's not like they get daily briefings. No. It's just,
it's almost symbolic.
It's symbolic.
And
it
in fact,
mean
it could
anything.
Have the opposite effect there, because he's now made a very highly politicized and critical move against them. They have tons of friends. They've spent decades in those industries. And do you not think they're going to get sources?
Rosemary said something really, really important. So think about it. The whole ecosystem in which we live, the laws really have to set the framework. And without that, you have all kinds of misbehavior. You can take the powers, and stretch them in ways that they shouldn't be. That's exactly what Trump's doing. I mean, even in my world, the world of the internet, the world of data privacy, the lack of laws mean anybody can do anything they want. And if you think about it, not only do we need laws, but we need all of those kinds of checks and balances that, you know, just by, in some sense, the kind of procedures and practices people had roughly held for all previous administrations. Trump's just throwing them out, and there's nothing to beat him up about that.
Well, which is why I believe that flipping the House of Representatives becomes so important, so that at least there's one coordinate branch of government that will make a difference. Now, I wrote a column, I'm going to be honest about all of this. I wrote a column in which I said, it really isn't about whether you like John Faso or not, or Elise Stefanik. It's about the fact that if the House doesn't flip, nothing along the lines of what you're saying is going to change. It's going to be that way. So if you want somebody to hold Trump accountable, now what's happened is, of course, the Republicans seem to be, one and one makes two, angry enough about not answering phone calls these days when we're looking around trying to get people to be on the Capital Connection show. They won't even call us back right
That's
now.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, there are so many levels to this thing, and Alan and Rosemary and Fran have touched on Avira, the whole concept of the importance of these security people from various presidencies communicating with each other, which apparently they have done, certainly off the grid without us knowing. I think David Gergen last night on CNN mentioned that some more current security person was not frequently talked to Nixon because Nixon had a perspective that was important. And so Trump, as he has done with so many other things, is just throwing away this institutional knowledge. And Lord knows he doesn't have any particular knowledge on this subject. So it weakens his presidency. It weakens the country's ability to think rationally about what's going on in the world. But one more point, and it's a broken record, and Alan talked about it again. At what point in time do the Republicans in the Congress say to themselves, we need to be patriots, we need to stand up, we need to point out the importance of this coordination between security people of various administrations? The answer so far, sadly, is they don't have the cojones to do it.
If you can keep on going into a bank and robbing it and not get caught, then why do you
I think the Washington Post ran in an analysis by a lawyer and a politician involved in Watergate. And despite our view of it now, we live through it, Ira. The Republicans stuck with the president. They stuck with Nixon until the very end. And they did not begin to turn, including Howard Baker, until after the tapes came out. Until it was clear the court was going to say those tapes will come out. And they showed that he was complicit from the very beginning. So the fact that Republicans are still sticking and want to keep a Republican president does not surprise me.
In a Republican Congress.
Yeah, they just want to keep it all together. Look at what they're doing they want. So what the question is, what would it take? What's the equivalent of the tapes?
The tapes, right. So profiles in courage, we don't have a lot of right now. Even the guys who are leaving on their way out are, nerdy. They don't say a thing.
What would you call them, Rosemary?
Let's not knock nerds.
Okay.
Yeah, I like nerds.
Yeah. Well, there are good nerds and bad nerds.
No, they're totally.
You're a good one.
They're totally self-interested. They're on the way out, first killing off healthcare and that ridiculous. I will not call it tax reform. The tax bill, they did that, and they're reveling in that and actually want us to say, oh,
okay,
yeah, we'll vote
okay,
for
but
for
will
that.
The Supreme Court of the United States, this Supreme Court of the United States, let's assume there's a subpoena by Mueller. Will the Supreme Court be there for Trump, or will they be there for the people's justice? My bet is they are there for Trump. Especially the Roberts and the Gorsuches and all the other guys who may be political appointments.
The new guy gets on.
So I know this sounds hopelessly.
Kavanaugh's the last.
You know, isn't there a path
the puzzle,
to bipartisanship
right?
anymore? Isn't there
Say
a
that
path
again, Fran. I'm
the,
sorry.
What?
Isn't there a path to bipartisanship and the public good? I mean, that sounds hopelessly idealistic, but isn't that the purpose of Congress?
Now, if you listened yesterday to David Gergen, I believe it was Gergen, on the Commonwealth Club.
Wasn't that good?
He was terrific.
That was really
good. And that was the whole theme of his work. He tried to make a case for Trump. Tried to bend over backwards to make a case for Trump and say, well, look, there's a whole constituency for who believe what Trump believes in this country. You got to give him a little credit for having achieved those things. But then he slammed them the rest of the program.
Yeah, and here are the problems with that when you play that game.
I still have the biggest trouble with that, being sympathetic and open to that 40% of the population that's wasn't just conned by him and voted for him, but continues to support him 2 years later in the face of one piece of evidence after another that he is horrible, not just to the whole world, but to them in particular.
But Rosemary,
they're
hearing different evidence because this is our fragmented society. You hear the news from the people with your point of view. So that's not the point of view I think they're getting.
Well, that's very true. And I mean, that's the big problem with news right now is I had to listen to investigative reporters who have evidence and who have gone and checked it out.
You and your facts.
And me and my facts, yeah. And so it is definitely a failure of the media. I know that. That's why I'm thinking so much about it. I know that they're not hearing it.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our very lively conversation. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo. I like saying that.
Yeah, but
Fran Berman, Ira Fussfeld, which I just always enjoy saying Ira, and Vera Karius-Kelly. Good morning, all. We have a lot of letters. I will just say that a lot of people welcoming Rosemary back, and we thank you for that.
So does Rosemary. Thank you for that.
Here we go.
Okay. Michael writes a very good letter in which he says, shiny object. The document revoking Brennan's security clearance was dated July 26. It was released yesterday in order to divert the attention of the press away from Amorosa's revelations. Once again, the press has fallen for it following the shiny object. I happen to agree with that. I think this was purposeful. I think he knows what he's doing.
Well, what was the press supposed to do, not report it?
Well, no, Ira, you make a point. It just depends on the context. Vera, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say Omarosa. She's quite a little trumpet, isn't she? I mean, we'll see how she keeps this up, but very clever. She learned from the master, and I'm actually quite enjoying watching her moves. Because
and the more you do, the more books you sell.
Apparently she will. So it's quite astounding.
I'm not sure.
What's that?
Might be Trumpina. I'm not sure.
Oh, Trumpina.
I think she's totally execrable and awful, and I don't wish that we covered her at all. I'll never buy her book, and I don't want her to make money from it. However, she did not deserve to be called a dog by the President of the United States.
What did he
sure
do?
Okay,
get inside his mind. And tell me why he did that.
He calls all women he doesn't like pigs and dogs.
Yeah, no,
it's
but what is what? Look, we know that everything that this guy does is directed at his base. So we are assuming that the base, intuitively, he thinks the base will react well to calling a black woman a dog.
Well, his base does not like strong, opinionated women, black or white. But especially black. And he can't lose with this. He didn't lose with talking about Megyn Kelly. When has he ever, or Rosie O'Donnell, when has he ever taken a hit? Grabbing the you-know-whats, when has he ever taken a hit, I repeat, on being mean or disgusting to women?
Mm-hmm.
There's a segment of the population that enjoys that and is saying, yeah, tell them.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, moving along. Thank you, Michael. Good letter. Joanne says, your broadcast, I just turned my radio and was gagged by your comments. I'm one of those who supported the president and will continue to. Why must you say things like
you do? Yeah, there's the 41%. And I have such trouble with that. I believe, and I have said this, and on Facebook I'm being, you know, rightly criticized for it. But if you support Donald Trump after 2 years, you're not just conned. You are supporting a racist. You are either racist yourself, or you think that there's something, I don't know what, more important than supporting a bigot and a racist.
So
and what is that? What is that? Jobs? And all of the job growth is not, it's, I know that the president in power gets credit, but it's not there. I'm afraid to retire because I think everything's going to come crashing down. So what do they see that I don't, other than you're listening to propaganda?
So if you're a Republican in this country, and you have a philosophy, and the philosophy has always been, I make the most, I want to keep everything I can,
yeah.
And I happen to believe those people are terrible. You know, those people who, you know, who are on the dole, whatever garbage they have ingested in that they believe. Well, then, you know, you can understand that if you put a lie detector on an arm of one of those people and said, do you believe in what Trump is for and are you for the same things? They're going to say yes. And that may include, by the way, calling a black woman in this case a dog.
I mean,
I think, you know, it's like, okay, we can go back to kindergarten and just call each other names. But, you know, I'm really interested in, what is it about Trump's presidency that keeps people wanting to support him?
Because he's like them.
Well, but I'm interested
he's
in what John
like
thinks.
He's not like them. He's a millionaire from New York.
So, John, no, but John they what see is it about like Trump's him. Presidency well, that, you know, makes you still a fan? I'm really interested in that.
I think there's something entirely different, which has, it has to do with the Clinton years and an embrace, a full embrace of globalization.
Yeah.
Structurally, this country entirely changed. The economy changed. A lot of people were left out from this global economy. And now the chickens have come to roost.
Mm.
A lot of people have been neglected.
Yeah.
By the political, what they perceive the East Coast elite or the California elites, and they feel ignored. They don't matter. Their voices don't matter. Their futures in the traditional farming, let's say, or coal industry, whatever it is, they're hanging on to the dream of going back to what they once had. And nobody, neither the Democrats nor the Republicans, address that essential need. And Trump somehow figured out to speak to that group
yep.
and make promises.
That's why I
now,
love
how
having...
long will it take before they figure out they're being screwed? Well, let's see. But they have to
Not
feel
yet.
It
yeah.
intensively
yeah.
in their pocketbook, in their children's futures. I mean, this is the question at hand. They're angered because they have felt left out.
Vera,
rightly
that's
so.
Exactly right.
And they don't
I
mind
completely
chaos
agree.
And
no, they
and
feel like everything
they like
else,
they like
the structure
yeah.
has been established to go against them. They feel the entire structure is unjust and unfair to them. And
well,
this
really
let us not overlook the role of propaganda and fear mongering that has has fed those fears
uh-huh.
too. The Russians have done that. They
sure.
did it in Brexit and here. Trump does it every day when he talks about immigrants. Immigrants are not the cause of the problems in the coal industry. I'm sorry, that's from robotization, and it's not going to come back. And I guess only the elite is smart enough to know that. No, of course not.
Mm.
So.
Well, I love Joanne's letter. I really do, even though I take great exception to it. And says, why must you say things like you do? Well, we say things that we think are...
Oops, I called Joanne John. Sorry, Joanne.
What did you say?
I called Joanne John. Sorry, Joanne.
No. Okay, Kathleen says, Faso and flipping the house. Welcome to Rosemary. There's an army of resistors from towns in Connecticut and Mass who are organizing and ready to descend on New York 19 district to help oust Representative Faso. I'm not able to travel to your area for the door-to-door action, but I have been contributing money to Swing Left, the group leading the charge. yes.
Well, we need as much network collaboration and help as across the country as possible. I mean,
okay.
this is, we need to encourage each other and help each other. to make a change.
Do not ignore these elections. Show up and vote. Yeah. Everyone.
Professor Don, who used to work at your institution, friend, says, the irony of Trump rescinding John Brennan's security clearance, as President Donald Trump is not required to undergo a background investigation. However, were he an ordinary citizen, he certainly would not meet the clearance criteria given his questionable business dealings, the many lawsuits he faces, and his alleged extramarital affairs.
Well, let's not forget erratic behavior, too.
Well, talk about his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Wow. He couldn't even pass, a security clearance. So here we go, right? There is evidence mounting that this is just, in essence, a house of cards, but they seem to be stronger than we anticipated.
Derek says, regarding Brennan, this action with Brennan is an attempt to distract and further discredit the Mueller probe. Mm-hmm. But what is more disturbing, I agree with that, what is more disturbing is the fact that the Russians have tweeted the president pulling clearance from ex-government officials 2 days prior to the official announcement. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is interesting, though, that through this all, Mueller just keeps marching along. And I think it was the Post again yesterday that pointed
Washington
out how
Post.
Powerful, yeah. Washington Post, how powerful his case was against Manafort. There was a mountain of paperwork. There was careful analysis. There was tons of evidence there. You in the face of his ranting and raving and his witch hunt propaganda, the Mueller team is just compiling one piece of evidence after another.
On the other hand, it just takes one, Rosemary.
I understand all that, but again, maybe it's like the press and like what we all have to do is just keep going and we won't get a change tomorrow maybe, but eventually it's going to all come out. And I really admire Mueller working under these conditions.
Keith writes, Cuomo and the GOP was quick to pounce on Cuomo's remark, including my own local congressman, John Faso. It would be nice if Faso was as quick with his condemnation of the president when Trump attacks our allies, cozies up to our enemies, attacks our press, obstructs justice, and says racist things. Faso votes with Trump 90% of the time, but comments like Cuomo like he is a New York State Assemblyman, which he was.
You should probably describe what Cuomo said.
So Andrew Cuomo yesterday was talking and speaking about Make America Great Again, and he said, well, America was never that great, and came under tremendous fire for it. He tried to clarify it. He didn't do incredibly well in that. And then the president tweeted a video of Cuomo's campaign ad, correct? That where at the end of that ad, it says, let me get the exact quote, but it's basically was saying that we will make America great. And again, we'll make
I just, you know, I'm not a huge Cuomo fan, but I respect a lot of what he says, and I agree with a lot of his policies. For the life of me, I can't believe how he could have been so stupid as to say this. This is not to say that I don't understand what he was trying to say, but the fact is he said it very poorly, and it's going to be in every campaign.
It's like Hillary saying deplorable.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was right, but it was said wrong.
Okay,
but let us not forget that his father became nationally famous for making a speech about how the city on the hill that Reagan is only part of the story.
Yeah.
America's not so great. There's a whole other world. His father almost ran for president.
Right.
Could have run for president.
Right.
On
but
that.
I just think that
same message.
Today's the way politics works today, this soundbite is going to be, it's going to haunt him if he in fact does run for president.
I think he eliminated his run for presidency with this.
It's a long time.
Well, I don't
to
think
run.
He was there to begin with.
Yeah,
but
maybe not, but I think this was, I agree with you, Ira. This was a almost career-ending mistake for a politician who may have aspirations
people,
to higher office.
People have been saying that about Andrew Cuomo for a long, long time.
I think
this
he's going nowhere.
Well, he hasn't run against a real strong candidate.
Well, come on, guys. With everything that he's got going against him, Prococo getting convicted, Todd Howe, Elaine Calieros, the stink of...
Boy, did we want you on the show that day.
I can't wait for the break.
By the way, Rosemary was the first person to go up there and confront him. She did a very good interview with
Calieros. Yeah, but it never went anywhere.
You did, and you had the guts to do it when nobody else was doing it.
There were other people. I don't deserve that. Thank you for the effort, but I don't deserve that.
No, I know what I'm talking about. That you were terrific.
He knows what he's talking about.
And she knows. I know.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll sort all this out. We'll be back right after this.
Let's walk up to the preacher and let's say hi to you. Then you'll know you'll have me, and I know that I'll have you. Don't be cruel to who heart is true.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Fran Berman, Ira Fussfeld, Vera Carius-Kelly. I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your letters. Sarah came in just a moment ago, and she just highlighted there's all these rules here, and she just highlighted one word there: proofread. So just proofread your emails, because we're getting things
Alan
without.
Doesn't.
Well, we're getting things without verbs.
The whiff-and-poof song.
Yeah, so...
Alan has terrible trouble reading emails if there are no verbs.
Yes, so if you just proofread them and make sure they make sense, then it makes more sense to our audience, you see.
Well, that's just an homage to newspapers, which are being poorly edited now because we don't have enough people. And so people send letters all the time saying, don't you guys proofread these stories?
You should see the papers I get on occasion.
Oh, students.
Lacking nouns, lacking verbs, lacking ideas. Well, it's astounding sometimes.
When I was on the college council at SUNY New Paltz, I heard a professor tell us that they spent more time in remedial English with first-year students than they did advancing their knowledge, because they needed knowledge that they didn't get in high school.
And you know that Leon Botstein at Bard has made a career out of training people to read and write when they come. He brings them a couple of weeks in, at least he used to.
He still does. You know, my husband works at Bard, so yes.
I do know that. Thank you.
Communication is a critical skill.
So I'm looking forward to my first year students coming in, and I find myself with the first papers. I sort of make so many remarks on grammar or wrong word usage that I remind myself after page one, wait, was there an idea I should comment on?
I don't miss this. I just want to say, it's like, yes, I'm happy I retired.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's fun. Yeah. You try to shape the future of America.
All right. Well, let's hear some of those letters with or without verbs.
Okay. And Jill says, a question for Alan. Alan, you always say that flipping the House to the Democrats is so important, and I agree with you. It is. But wouldn't it be easy to flip the Senate our way? After all, we need only one or two, maybe two Senate, one or maybe two Senate seats to flip, and the Democrats have control of that. We need to flip a lot more House seats to gain control of that branch. Am I missing something? Thank you for your enlightenment. Speaking to you directly, Jill, I do think you're missing a point, and that is there are a lot of Democratic Senate seats that are up for grab this year, much more than Republicans. And that is what is so frightening to the Democratic folks who are trying to. But it is possible that if there is a blue wave, a real blue wave, it could happen. But the House looks doable from almost every political perspective that we've seen.
I remember when we were talking about Hillary that way. I don't see a blue wave. I think it's going to be a battle to the end, and I hope everybody goes out to vote.
Well, by the way, I stand corrected. I agree with you, but I do think that the House will be easier, much easier to flip than the Senate. Okay, Jill, thank you. Aaron says, James Brennan. Brennan supported Bush's programs of torture and rendition. Rendition, which was the policy of abducting a suspected terrorist and sending them to another country to be tortured. Brennan referred to this as a vital tool. Yep. No one should shed a tear for this guy. He should be in prison instead of a paid commentator on MSNBC.
Yeah. Comey, Clapper, Brennan, they all have horrible marks on their past. And they're heroes to us now only because they're willing to take on Trump when his own party will not.
Yeah, okay. But we're missing something about their clearances going away, because it may be about retaliation for the White House, but these guys have, you know, as somebody said, I forget who, maybe Ira, tribal knowledge that matters. And, you know, they were there during these historic events. They have things to offer that, you know, are not out in the open. If you can't ask them questions, that's a problem.
But you can ask them questions, even if they're out of the loop. You still call them up and talk to them. There's nothing that prevents that.
Yeah, but you can't tell them anything that really makes it a fuller conversation, right?
And I bet they know it anyway.
Yeah. One of your colleagues, not at your institution, Fran, but at the University of Massachusetts, writes the following letter. Science and the Roundtable. It is terrific to hear Fran Berman, a computer scientist, on this morning's panel. As a biologist, immunologist, I frequently lament the sad state of government funding for basic research in STEM disciplines. I firmly believe that the U.S. is headed toward becoming a follower instead of leader in life sciences. And one reason for that is scientists do a poor job of informing the public about how science contributes to our health and well-being. We need more scientists on the panel. On an unrelated note, welcome back, Rosemary. We miss you. And that's from Barbara.
And by the way, this is Fran. Thank you very much. And I just did the happy dance, even though you couldn't see it.
You did. Very good. And Paul says, the new Russian hack. So I follow the news of the election hack and the Trump involvement extremely closely. I've also followed the concept of Russian trolls in social media. Unfortunately, I am now seeing actual people I know, reiterating the same propaganda as if it was truth. It has become their truth. Mission accomplished. Yep. I also watched Octavio Cortez win in a remarkable election. And once again, a new rhetoric began, which was the divide inside the Democratic Party. Is this the new direction of the Russian hack? Is this a Trojan horse that no one looks for instead of support for the right to divide the left? Well, you know, the New York Times has front page articles on this issue of the division within the Democratic Party. And if that's the case, they would have fallen for the Russian trolls. I don't think so. What can I tell you?
I think there is a division, and I think it's more than the division is that the Democrats still don't have their message, and they don't have strong, great candidates. I don't think she's a good candidate. She's completely inexperienced. She makes lots of mistakes. Mm. She doesn't know anything. She has no experience. I don't want her any more than I wanted Trump or Cynthia Nixon or Barack Obama. What is wrong with experience and bureaucratic knowledge and tribal knowledge? What's wrong with that?
Well, Rosemary, you know, there are choices to be made. So let me put it this way. We say Cynthia Nixon, who I'm devoted to, should not win because she doesn't have experience.
Yeah, let her run for school board first. Have a little practice.
Wait. You get choices, and those are people who put themselves forward. So my view of that one is we want somebody of experience, somebody who is surrounded by convicted crooks who have been collecting. I'm talking about Cuomo now, who have been.
Of course you are.
Pococo and Todd Howe, and that's experience you want compared?
No. Did I say I wanted experience at the cost of corruption? Of course not. But is it too much to ask in a country like America that we ask for experienced, clean politicians?
Well, Rosemary, those are the
choices. Is that an idealistic view like you had?
Those are the choices you have right now. These people have put themselves forward, and you have a choice. Andrew Cuomo, who is leading in this election by 30 points, or Cynthia Nixon, who is saying many of the right things, who can find the right people to run in her administration. I hear you, Rosemary.
Some of the best people she'd put in. Oh, yeah, where have I heard that before? No. Despite the faults, I would vote for Cuomo. I would perhaps vote for Cuomo. I'm not saying that's who I will, because that would be biased. However, he has an argument. Yes, there were mistakes made, and they've been punished.
You know, I think it's hard.
Well,
it's
I have grave problems.
You know, if anyone said that about the Republican side,
they haven't been published.
Wait a second.
Okay, but what if it meant
has Andrew Cuomo
Christ?
Been punished?
What?
No.
Oh,
there were actually charges brought in a court of law. Price, Pruitt, Carson.
Sorry, not buying. And I'm going to tell you. I'm saying why I'm not buying. He comes into office. He says, I'm going to clean up Albany. It's a mess. And he is surrounded by crooks, by people who have been taken before the bar of justice. And we all know and who, among the other things they're doing, are responsible for much of the $32 million that he has collected in his campaign accounts by saying quid pro quo.
And coming back to the Democratic Party, I think what we see is a generational shift, and it is overdue.
Yeah, you're right.
So
yeah,
I think I there's just
and
something going on.
And the pollsters aren't finding it. That's the interesting thing.
I mean,
you take Octavio Cortez, right?
Uh-huh.
She runs. They have an internal, Crowley has an internal poll, which shows that they are 35 points, that Crowley is 35 points ahead. Then she wins by 15 points. That's 50 point difference between what the pollster said, and I think you're right on the money, because it was the newbies, the people who hadn't voted before, the young people, the millennials,
the people
who they never
count. Been integrated into any of the polling data.
That's
and
right.
Here we come.
Look,
this is
experience
the change that we
means that you're gonna be able to make fewer beginner's mistakes. It means that you're gonna be more effective. But you know, when does experience trump a moral compass? You know, these are the kinds of decisions we have to make.
I think we saw it in this election, and you have Donald Trump, and so I'm voting for experience.
What kind of
experience? Moral compass?
Okay, so we have to take a break.
Oh darn it!
I know you can do it. You can keep going during the break. It's fine. I'm not going to stop you. And Ray's going to do some news. We'll come back and we'll talk some more.
That flew by.
I know. That's because you're all.
I know. I can't
riled
talk.
Up.
I can't talk to Bosnians or Jordanians about this stuff.
All right, we'll be right back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. Just in the last few minutes, we learned that Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, died at her home in Detroit. She died early this morning, surrounded by family and friends. We have been hearing reports over the last several days that she was in hospice and had been battling an illness, cancer, I believe, for quite a while. She was 76 years old. And the Associated Press is reporting that she has passed. So we're actually, after this, at 11 o'clock, we're going to blow out the that hour of our program. There is a special that was done, World Cafe, with Aretha Franklin, and we're going to air that in her honor at 11 o'clock this morning.
Wow.
So there was no one like her.
Wow. Amazing voice.
A lot of people think she was the greatest singer who ever lived, and she's been voted. She's been voted that.
You know, a seven-decade career. Yes. I mean, that is
incredible,
spectacular. And you think of the, I mean, memorable performances, and there are many. But the performance that she did at the Obama inaugural.
Yeah.
Of the
Nessun Dorma, when she stood in for Pavarotti, who was sick, and she, oh my God, it's just, I've been editing to her all this week. She is an amazing woman.
What do you mean editing to her?
Well, when you've been working, doing your work.
Oh, you're doing your work, she's been in my ears, and this is a big loss. There are many other people I would rather be silenced than Aretha Franklin.
Many other people I would rather be
silenced.
I would rather be silenced.
I just made it political in case you.
Well, you know, I was just talking to Fran from RPI and mentioning that when new, I think it was when they opened up the and what's the name of the center there?
You
know,
yeah.
Yeah. And that she was the attraction.
Hmm. Yeah, MPEG. And when I first MPEG? Came to RPI, MPEG. Which was 2009, there was a huge anniversary, and she performed, and she was spectacular.
Yeah,
really there was spectacular.
Maybe that's the one.
18 yeah. Grammy Awards, 75 million records worldwide, the first female performer to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, recorded 112 charted singles
wow.
on Billboard, thus setting the record for the most charted female artist in the trade magazine's history.
Wow.
And on the same day that Elvis Presley passed, Aretha Franklin passed.
Wow.
So,
not the, yeah, different years.
Year. No,
yeah,
they
yeah.
both didn't die today. No, Elvis has been yeah. down for a while. I mean, depending on who you believe, some believe he's still alive, actually.
I have a statistical question, though, you guys. You might know this. Art. Like, so what male beat her? Is this like Serena Williams, that she's not just the best
Serena?
Athlete? Yeah, Serena's not. She's just not the best woman athlete, best athlete of all time. You have to add the gender qualifier?
No, I think that she beat all the males in this poll that they did.
Well, I think in the case of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that she was the first woman.
Oh, I see.
To
yeah,
be,
but it said she's the number of charted.
Charted. I will check that. I will
yeah,
do
I
my research.
That. Thank you.
Yes, you're very, very welcome.
Well, one could argue. I mean, you have greats like Elvis or Ray Charles or, you know, if I dare say, Pete. Each of those people were extraordinary, but in the national poll that I saw referenced said she was seen as the greatest of all time.
But I think Rosemary's point, which is a great point, is when a woman is number one at something, she's the number one woman. And when a man is number one at something, he's the number one.
Yeah, well, what I'm trying
period.
To tell you, Fran, is
yeah.
that in this particular thing that I saw, they said she was the best, including all of the men who were in the poll. So
awesome.
So yeah, just wanted to mention it.
All right. So there is that news to report. And again, we'll be running a special at 11 o'clock this morning. You have some letters there, Alan?
I do, Joe. Thank you for asking. Linda said, "Trump supporter. Trump is not like them, but he sounds like them." Okay, that sounds like the Trump supporters. Yeah. In other words, they see themselves, being Trump, but he's not like them, and that's the point. Paul says, panel, hi, in response to something Rosemary said, Trump did take a double-digit polling hit when the tape came out of him bragging about molesting women. He came back from that after the Russians released a batch of embarrassing emails that same day as damage control for Trump. Interesting. Alan says, "Why
people?" He was still losing until Comey's business got
until Comey
involved.
11 days
yeah.
before the election.
Okay, and Alan says, "Why people still support Trump?" Vera is right, obviously, but there is also strong data supporting strong man in quotes, authoritarian style of leadership being very attractive to huge buckets of voters.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to have Rosemary back. Hugs.
No.
Yeah. Panel. Good morning, esteemed panel. She always starts this. Oh, he always starts this way because he knows we get to read the letters that way. good morning. Just to clarify how big President Trump's base and popularity is, Real Clear Politics, which is politically neutral, has him 43%, 43.5. CNN poll recently showed 44. Therefore, the base is nearly half of all Americans. Half of all Americans support his policies. Thank you. And that's Tom from Queensbury. Do you think, gang, that every one of us has, you know, a good part and a not so good part. You know, in other words, that the trick here, the Obama trick, was to appeal to the good part of somebody's psyche. And Trump is doing and doing extremely effectively, is going for the bad part.
So you mean, like, in terms of Obama appeal to people to do something for the betterment of society,
yes,
versus Trump directly speaks to
hatred.
The personal benefit
and hatred
and self-interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the metaphor that I heard that I like the best. It comes from a Bosnian, very wise woman who believes that America is following in the path of her country, i.e. war and desolation. And she said, in all humans, there's a group. It's like a first grade class, and you go out with the teacher in the front and the teacher in the back, and they're on the way, and they come to a busy street, and some cross right over, and they're waiting here at the signpost, and some hang back. They're a little bit afraid about the danger, and they lag back. And then you end up with two separated groups. One is ready to forge ahead, forget those back here, and the others are back here, and they don't want to catch up. So what do? Do you forge ahead and forget about all those? Or do you cross back over the street, in other words, go back and regress, and bring them along with you? And that's what America's facing right now. Isn't that a great metaphor?
Yeah.
Wow.
Bob says, welcome back, Rosemary.
Thank you.
But you're wrong, he says.
I love our listeners.
In saying that Brennan's comments after he retired polarizes the CIA. Besides being well within his First Amendment rights to speak out, he is in a unique position to speak authoritatively about the damage Trump is doing to our democracy. If not him, who? And that's from Bob in Albany, regular commentator here.
I have a question for the House, and tell me if you agree with the theory. If you look at the Trump presidency as A and B, A being simply his policies and who he's nominating for the courts and his foreign policy, et cetera, and B being the way he has comported himself as president and how he has demeaned the institution of the presidency of the United States. My belief is Americans could put up with A, knowing that that's typical. A lot of Americans didn't like George W. Bush's policies. A lot of Americans didn't like Barack Obama's policies, but they were presidential. And then the election came and we chose which ones we like and which one we didn't. I think what drives me more crazy than the policies, although certainly the policies are serious, is how he has demeaned the presidency of the United States. That is what set him apart. That is what the resistance is resisting, I believe, almost more so than the obviously important judge, Supreme Court issues, etc. Am I the only one who feels that way?
I'm resisting everything, and I think a lot of people are, but that makes a lot of sense, yeah.
I actually think that the next person who acts more presidential will, you know, get a big boost up because of B. But A is really, really problematic.
Yes.
Judges over the next, you know, over the long term, loosening of laws that actually support the public good. I mean, all of those things are going to be really hard to undo.
Right. But that's normal, quote unquote, in American history. I mean, there have always been presidents whose policies were significant and serious, with which many of us disagreed. But the process moved on and new presidents came in. I don't know that anybody has ever demeaned the office of the White House the way this guy has, and who has hurt the standing of this country around the world. I mean, Rosemary can speak to her own experience about how people in the Middle East and in Europe are looking at our country now.
They feel sorry for us. It's like what I most often hear is, now you know how we feel.
Yeah, isn't that sad to use his word?
But also, I think he's the first president who's so clearly focused on turning allies into foes. Mm-hmm. This has never been done like that. Directly attacking Trudeau in Canada, segregating out the Canadians
and the Mexicans,
treating them.
In bucket Mexico, B, not in bucket
the European
A.
Germany. I mean, the kind of attacks on Angela Merkel. he goes after particularly younger leaders and women leaders in countries that are our allies. If you look at this pattern, so he wants to be top dog, and he does not care how that might impact future relations, economic relations, intelligence collaboration, and so on. That truly frightens me.
Don't forget Turkey either. It's completely destabilizing. Well, not completely, because Erdogan has done a lot on
his own. Well, you know, at first he admired an authoritarian. Yeah. Now he, picks on the one,
the pastor
who's, supported by his evangelical base. I'm sorry, there are many other Americans imprisoned, 17 others imprisoned in Turkey. In addition to that, Erdogan has fired, imprisoned, killed hundreds of thousands, killed lots of people. I mean, Turkey is a dictatorship at this point.
Absolutely. He's a sultanate right now.
And Joe says, Amorosa. Kudos to Rosemary Armeo for a fair and balanced critique of Amorosa. So many liberals are rejoicing at Amorosa's horrible behavior. Wrong is wrong, regardless of sex, origin, religion, or politics.
She's horrible.
And children are taught in kindergarten that name-calling is wrong. Apparently, Trump's private school didn't teach that lesson. Dean says, distrust of the press. You wonder why people distrust the press? Within the first part of your program, I heard Alan scoff at the term Arab called people. He dislikes nerds. And Rosemary said, anyone who voted for Trump strongly dislikes black women.
Black people in general, not just black women.
Yeah. Way to stereotype such large demographics of people on in one episode. Shows as this is why voters are disenfranchised and will continue to vote right. I only want to speak to my own thing. Scoff at the term Arab. No, I was wondering about why Rosemary said Arabs in the background.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So why don't you just take that? Thank you. And Timothy said Trump's base. Morning panel. I heard from a Cuomoite the other day because I had responded to somebody's really mean letter on the air. And this woman who had worked for Cuomo back in the day took me to great task for it. And I wondered who put her up to that. Trump's base.
Maybe she did it on her own.
Maybe she was convinced.
Women are free agents.
Right.
Yeah, they are. And just because you're a woman doesn't mean, Rosemary, that somebody didn't put you up to something. You see what I'm saying here?
Oh, you're just trying to turn around.
Yeah, I get it. And here's an interesting one. Timothy says Trump's base. But as Joe cautioned, here's the introduction. You can look over my shoulder here. Morning panel. M-O-U-R. Morning panel. Yeah.
Morning.
Now, that may be a profound statement. I don't know. It may be profound.
We are sort of stuck on this one.
The panel has yet to discuss race and loss of status as the foundation of the Trumpian basegeist. Ooh. They fear the writing on the walls of demography. The foundation of their alabaster citadel is crumbling.
Well.
Alabaster, you know.
Yeah.
What was my favorite word in that song? Alabaster. Okay. And Bob says Trump is lacking experience. Trump's problem is not lack of experience. It is lack of experience and decency and a moral compass and intelligence. How is he lacking? Let me count the ways.
Inspired letter.
That's from Bob. And Pierre, who says Cuomo, Governor Cuomo's statement about the illusion of American greatness was courageous and on the money. I am dismayed by your criticism of him. Every person of color in this country knew exactly what Trump meant when he coined the statement, Make America Great Again. Mm-hmm. It was a call to return to a time when people of color, women and gays were kept in a position of inferiority. Cynthia Nixon has already accomplished a great deal by forcing Cuomo to move to the left. So much for the need for experience, and that's Pierre in Westerlo.
Well, Pierre's right, except for if only Cuomo had said all these things, it would have actually helped. But to sort of use a slogan that only a Trumpite would use and then not be very articulate about it does not help because you have to contextualize.
So are you saying, but the real reason a lot of people think he shouldn't have done it is that even though it may be true, it was a political mistake.
Well, you just don't use slogans when you're not good at it. Think of your own slogan. How about
that? I don't know, Vera.
Don't piggyback on some other person's slogan that is so narrow and then try to turn it around.
Well, of course
it just doesn't work for him.
Well, of course
we only have 2 minutes, but go ahead.
Of course I agree with you. Nevertheless, you know, he is the governor of New York. He got somewhere in life. So, you know, you can't just...
Name recognition is part one.
By the way, I agree with
Sarah Palin got to be governor, too.
So.
Come on, some like really bad people have been governor in this country over the years.
Sue says, experience. I've been persuaded by my son, a former reporter in Orange County.
No, he actually was decent. I was thinking of the ones during the... civil rights era in the South.
I was at the University of California when Arnold was governor. I'm not sure we
you didn't
that
think
so
it was
great.
So great.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, it wasn't that, you know, yeah. wasn't that good. Yeah.
Sue says, experience. I've been persuaded by my son, a former reporter for the Orange in Orange County, that Michael Sussman, he's the Green candidate, is the right person for the job of New York State Attorney General. Unlike Zephyr Teachout, he has courtroom experience that is vast. He was magnificent in his interview with Alan recently. Hello, panel. Thank you for the show, which was regularly improves my morning commute. I wanted to comment on some language I find problematic with struggle with myself. I noticed a couple of times this morning people didn't do the right thing, described as not having cojones or being eunuchs. This seems to imply that testosterone or maleness is connected with moral strength. If I have noticed any correlation at all, it might be the other way, and that's John.
Did you miss this, Rosemary?
Well, it's very nice, John, but the language is just like we say, mankind. It's accepted, and you're right. Moral and fortitude and morality is described in terms of having balls.
Since I'm the one who said it, and then you just said balls, that was what I was trying to avoid saying.
I know. But I like
that's
saying
why people
the real
love
words.
Rosemary.
I know.
And then finally, Maureen says, Cuomo remark. I am not a Cuomo fan, but his remark only hurts him with the shallow thinkers who do not know what he is referencing. Isn't it time to stop this type of nationalism? And that's from Maureen from Copake.
30 seconds.
One of my favorite places.
Vera, no?
No, I've said my piece about Cuomo. I want him to go away, actually.
But regardless of who's running against him?
Well, how about Cynthia?
Well, that okay.
Okay, can I just do a commercial that Kateri Tekergwith, the Peace Conference,
yes.
is this weekend. I'm going to be one of the speakers. I've never been to this. It's been going on for 20 years.
Where is it?
And it's up at Orrisville in Fonda, the Kateri Tekergwith Shrine. It's near the old Mohawk Village.
Yep.
And they've been doing this, you know, since Vietnam was the issue. Now mm-hmm. it's wars all, war
it's
and conflict
group.
All over. Yep. And mm-hmm. we're going to just talk about, like, what happens now in the age of immediacy, as Martin Luther King put it, what can we all do? And I don't have any answers, so I'm going to go and talk and hope I find answers, and I'll chat about it next week. Okay?
Okay.
And I have a heads up for everyone. Alex Jones is off Twitter for 7 days, so
Hallelujah.
Enjoy.
Hallelujah.
So yeah. Enjoy. All right. Ira, any last words of wisdom?
I'm going to go have a corned beef sandwich in honor of Elvis.
All right. And there we go. Thank you all very much. Have a great day, and we'll be back with more show after this.